There had been a table in an upper room. A strange evening, that. They had consumed their fill of food, tasted unpalatable words, and digested actions which made them queasy. Somber conversation of betrayal, like sour grapes, had put their teeth on edge. Talk of denial was hard to swallow. The master washing their feet, difficult to absorb. Then the language of leaving, of loss, and of love. There had been a table laid for celebration, an odd sort of feast that. They had supped on bread and wine, nourishment for body. The meal made more memorable by his metaphors of flesh and blood. For afters, he dispensed teaching difficult to stomach, a foretaste of things to come, the conversation serving only to fatten up their fears. The master moved, then speaking peace to troubled hearts, showing them himself as word and way, calling them to save your life. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. A beautiful sunny day at the beginning of what we hope will be a lovely, lovely week, if the forecast's anything to go by. The order of service has a few intimations that I want to maybe just highlight. This afternoon at 2:30, we have a service along at the Deeside Care Home, and anyone who would like to come along and join us in that would be very, very welcome. We'll be celebrating the Sacrament of Communion with those that gather at the home this afternoon. This week is Christian Aid Week, and our service this morning is going to be littered with references to that. And so we'll have a wee prayer later on for those who are going to be going out this week doing the door-to-door collection. But just something for your diaries, on the 25th of May there is a coffee morning in aid of Christian Aid Week. And Irene has given me a wee note this morning to say that she's looking for volunteers and baking, and for anybody else just to put the date in their diary for coming along. So it's in the intimations there, that as well. Somebody asked me this morning about the intimation regarding the meeting along with the ladies at St. Devnick's this coming Friday. And Joe Boyer, who is mentioned as the person to come and hear from, is the wife of the rector at St. Devnick's, in case you weren't aware of that. And so there's an invitation to anybody who would quite like to go along on Friday morning and meet Joe and hear from her to just pop along at the time that's there in the intimations. And today is a very special day, a special day for little Willow down here at the front. We've getting used to seeing Willow around the church's last wee file, and she's going to join us as a member of the church through her baptism later on in the service. But it's also a special day for somebody else, because it's her birthday, and she's going to kill me for this. But it's Alison Hogg's birthday this morning, and I thought, we often sing happy birthday to the children, but maybe we should sing happy birthday to Alison too. So, is Emily, I never told her. Oh, there we go. Happy birthday to Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alison. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Anyway, this morning we are here to worship God. We come to this place all from different places, with different issues, with different hopes and aspirations. Yet our differences are a source of life for each of us. Here we are a place seeking unity, overcoming separation and discovering joy in the other. So let us worship God, the way, the truth, and the life. Our hymn is 195, Here to the House of God We Come.
Thank you.
Let's join our hearts in prayer. Sheltering Creator, in this time of praise led by still water, those who are tired after a busy week. Shepherding Son, restore the souls of those worried by and for the world. Sustaining Spirit, comfort all who are walking through the darkest valley. Creator, Son, and Spirit, may your goodness and mercy be upon us as we dwell in your house today. How long, O Lord, how long until we listen to your prophets crying out for justice and raise our voices in unison with them, standing together with those who struggle, resisting the unfair systems that keep countries and communities poor, challenging and changing the structures that have denied life for too long. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. How long, O Lord, how long until we heed the words of Hannah and Mary, pregnant with the potential of your kingdom come, for the hungry to be filled with good things, for the rich to be sent away empty, for the poor to be raised up from the dust, for the proud to be brought low, and the needy lifted from the ashes of grief. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. How long, O Lord, how long must you wait for hearts to turn towards you and to follow your paths that lead to fullness of life? Forgive us our waywardness in thought and word and deed, and in what we have failed to do, and help us return to you today. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. We give thanks for your steadfast love that never ceases, your unending mercy new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And we continue our prayer saying together Jesus' words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So already mentioned, this week is Christian Aid Week, a week when churches across the world focus on the work of that wonderful organisation, Christian Aid. And I want to read you something now which will give you a little flavour of the projects that are going to be supported by the funds raised during this year's appeal. Tena Bao rests her three-month-old baby, Ansumana, on her lap. She bounces him on her knee and giggles. He giggles happily. Tena and her baby are visiting a temporary health centre in Sierra Leone for a regular checkup. They're attended to by Nurse Judith, who delivered the baby in this room just a few months before. Thankfully, both mum and baby are healthy. But tragically, Tena has loved and lost a baby before. A few years ago, when Tena was pregnant with her first child, there was no health centre or trained nurse in her village. With no other choice, Tena was taken by her mother to a traditional birth attendant. For the 2 days of her labour, Tena was in agony. She fell unconscious and was bleeding heavily. When at last she woke up, her whole body was swollen. In the months and days following, Tena still felt very weak. Her baby wouldn't breastfeed, and tragically, her little one died when he was just 3 months old. I will never forget that day, Tena recalls. I felt sick like I've never been sick before. I loved my baby so much. Thankfully, when Tena was pregnant the second time, things had changed for good. Christian Aid's partner, Radha, saw that Tena and many mums like her were in desperate need of health care. And that's how Nurse Judith came to save lives. With expert love and care, Nurse Judith delivered Tena's baby safely. But the health centre where Nurse Judith worked is not enough to meet every need. The roof leaks. There are only 2 delivery beds. And when mums come to deliver their babies at night, Judith has no light to see by. This makes giving birth even more dangerous. Every day, 10 women die from giving birth in Sierra Leone. And Christian Aid believe every life is worth fighting for. This Christian Aid Week, you could help more mums and babies across the world and give them the greatest gift, the gift of life. With your support, Tennis Community could build a bigger, better health centre to help ensure more mums see their babies grow and enjoy fullness of life. Nurse Judith says, I know that for women there, here, thanks to Christian Aid, our situation is going to change. So whether by filling your Christian Aid envelope that will pop through your door, or if you, indeed if you're helping with the door-to-door collection this week, you will be helping women like Tenna. You will be doing life-saving work. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. And so I offer this prayer for the work of those helping with Christian Aid this week. Let us pray. Listen now to the shepherd's voice. Follow him where he might lead you this week, whether to green pastures or by still waters. Wherever we follow him, may we all be midwives of hope, bringing fullness of life to our communities and standing together for equality, for dignity, for justice in the world. Those of you who step out this week collecting for Christian Aid, you go with God's blessing. Amen. We continue with our worship singing hymn 142, A Small Thing Like a Hazelnut.
First reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 27, and you can find this on page 137 of the Good News Bible. Jesus, the way to the Father. Do not be worried and upset, Jesus told them. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way to get there? Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me, he said to them, you will know my Father also. And from now on you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, Show us the Father. That is all we need. Jesus answered, For a long time I have been with you all, yet you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have spoken to you, Jesus said to his disciples, do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things I do. I am telling you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do what I do. Yes, he will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him, because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left all alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more. But you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Whoever accepts my commandments and obeys them is the one who loves me. My Father will love whoever loves me. I too will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, how can it be that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. And my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my teaching. And the teaching you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. And reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8 on page 10 of the Good News Bible. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and anyone who seeks will find, and the door will be opened to him who knocks. Thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. These are familiar words, words often used and associated with funerals. Indeed, for a long time, I read from John's Gospel in almost every funeral I conducted. And I used the words because I felt they offered words of hope, hope for what was to come. There is a danger, though, that if we only ever hear words like these from John's Gospel at funerals, we lose sight of the fullest meaning of them. And the same goes for Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, at weddings. We hear these words and immediately associate them with the context in which we have heard them over and over again. But that's not to say that they aren't good words for such occasions. They are. But it's important to hear these words afresh, out of their normal context, and hopefully to hear what else is being said. In our reading from John's Gospel, Jesus is sat around the table with his disciples at the Last Supper. He is mid-flow in what is known as his final discourse. He's telling them everything he wants them to know. It's like the final revision session before a big exam. In the passage we heard, Jesus is indeed trying to reassure them and promises the disciples that he's going on ahead of them to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. "You will know the way," he says. And Thomas, ever questioning, says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way to get there?" And then comes those so very famous words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." The way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now, I have to confess that these last words, "except by me," cause me some discomfort. It seems to say that only those who believe in Jesus will find their way to heaven, if indeed that is what his Father's house is. Perhaps they make you a little uncomfortable too. And so I wonder if there are other ways to understand these words. Theologian and writer Frederick Buchner offers one way around my and perhaps your discomfort with this thought, and he writes these words. He said, "Jesus said, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.' He didn't say that any particular ethic, doctrine, or religion was the way, the truth, and the life. He said that he was. He didn't say that it was by believing or doing anything in particular that you could come to the Father. He said it was only by him, by living, participating in, being caught up by the way of life he embodied. That was his way. Thus," he goes on, "it's possible to be in Christ's way and with his mark upon you without ever having heard of Christ. And for that reason, to be on your way to God through him, maybe you don't need to believe in God." Does that help? I think we can all think of people who are good and kind and Christ-like in word and action, but who don't profess any faith at all. I know I can. But what's the point in having faith and believing in Jesus if just by being Christ-like gets you to this place that we call heaven? Well, Buchner continues. He goes, "A Christian is one who is on the way, though not necessarily very far along it, and who has at least some dim and half-baked idea of whom to thank. A Christian isn't necessarily any nicer than anyone else, just better informed." Now, I like that. Just as we know people who may not profess a faith who are good and kind and Christ-like, I'm sure we all know people who profess a faith and yet whose words and actions belie that profession. We, those who gather for worship week by week, are not the finished article. We are still learning what it means to be followers of Christ. We are still learning what it means to be loved by God. That we are on this path and open to learning more is what sets us apart from those who who choose not to want to know more or live in ignorance of God's love for them. It's not that we are loved more. We're just better informed of that love. We have seen the path. We have seen the way, the truth, and the life on offer. Our task, our mission, is to help others find them too and become better informed. And this week we have a real opportunity to do this by taking part in Christian Aid Week, either by helping with the various fundraising activities or making a donation, or indeed by praying. Christian Aid have a phrase they use that says that they believe in life before death. They believe that everyone is equal before God and that poverty is an outrage against humanity. This week is an opportunity for us all to walk with Jesus on the way. There will be people who will walk with us this week who do not know or profess a faith in Jesus. We can help show that God loves them too, that God loves us all. Today's gospel reading is perhaps a reminder to us, the slightly better informed, that God loves each and every one of us. Yes, but he loves everyone out there too. We're not part of some exclusive club that offers members only rewards. You might be wondering what the point of being better informed is if God's love is so freely available. And well, I think the clue is in the closing words of our reading from John's Gospel. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world gives, does. Do not be afraid and upset. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, offers peace. Our modern day understanding of peace is a time when there are no arguments and no wars, no fights. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, has a slightly different meaning. It means having everything you need to be holy and happily yourself. Jesus, in these closing words of our reading, is offering words of comfort, words that help us make sense of what a life knowing him means. It means a life lived in peace, whole and happy, because we know the way, the truth, and the life. That's the difference that faith gives us. I want to finish with a reflective poem written by Andrew King with some additional words of my own, a reminder that we find Jesus, God, in and of our world. And it's simply entitled, The Face of God. We thought you wore the skin of thunder, spoke in verbs of stormwood, wind, majesty, and mighty as lightning, upon summits unreachable, as the cold and silent fire of distant stars, hidden behind a curtain in the temple, an untouchable invisibility approachable by the highest priest only, hands freshly blooded from the altar. And then somehow the veil was parted. We gained glimpses of the glory, of the nearness of your love, as the hurting were healed, the outcast befriended, the lost restored. And everywhere the powers of death had their dominion challenged by the son of a Jewish carpenter from Galilee. If you have seen me, said Jesus, you have seen the Father. And we do see you there in the Gospels, healing in synagogues and in houses, feeding the hungry on hillsides, embracing the lepers and the sinners, turning over the tables in the temple, nailed to a cross of injustice, but risen, greeting women at the graveside, sharing bread with your friends, the dominion of death overturned, approachable, reachable, the accessible God, visible in the skin of Jesus. But you're not done, not content to wear such skin only in the pages of the gospel. The many-coloured, multi-shaped body of Christ, the church, wide as the nations of the world, bears your image where it acts in your love, still feeding, still healing, still teaching mercy, making you visible. Not in great structures or in high saints alone, but in the ordinary persons in the pews, as here on a day like any other, the person making dinner, and packing it, knocking on the door of a neighbour newly home from surgery, the face of the one receiving it lit with thankfulness, the face of the one freely given, like the face of God. Both beloved of God, both on the same path, both on the way to truth and life, both now better informed. Amen. We continue to worship, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Lord, in the here and now, grant us peace. In the here and now, give us such a strong and clear sense of your presence that we might know exactly how to serve you. Let us build this kingdom of yours. Let us open wide the gates and let all enter the life of blessing you intend for all. Lord, we thank you for our houses and homes. We thank you for bringing us to your house this morning, as we are so blessed to be here. Thank you for your love and mercy. Accept the offerings we make. May we give not for reward, but because we love you. Use what we give to further your kingdom. For your Son's sake, we pray. Amen. Right, who is up for a wee challenge? I think this is a girls against the boys thing. Are you up for this? Yeah? Okay, right. What I've got here, I've got two bowls of sweeties. And what I need you to do with the bowls of sweeties is to sort them out into the different colours. Okay, and it's going to be a wee bit of a race, girls against the boys. Is that all right? You're up for this, aren't you? Right, okay. Right, now, that's your bowl there. Okay? And then that's your bowl there. Okay, and you've got five different colours in total. So use your bowl. Use your bowl to sort it then. No, no, that's the way it's meant to be. No, that's fine. No, it's meant to be that way round. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's going to be a wee bit of a ready, steady, go moment, and we'll see who's finished first. Whoever's finished first gets to keep the sweets. Okay. Okay, so you've got five different colours, so you've got a bowl plus four cups, so you should be able to write. Okay, you ready? Steady, go. See how long it takes them. Oh, got different methods here. We've got different methods. You're going for just one colour at a time. Oh. Okay. Getting on.
Oh, no.
Oh, you found all the purple ones. Oh. Bit of teamwork going on over here. Yeah.
Right.
How are you getting on here? Are you managing?
Yeah.
Yeah? You quite happy at the moment?
Okay.
Oh, the boys are finished.
Yay.
Oh no, the boys beat you. You just carry on, you carry on. You've got a wee bit to go yet. Did you think that was fair, boys?
No. Not really.
Was it not fair? Why wasn't it fair?
She had more than us, and she only had one person, and we had less than her, and we only had
three. So you had less sweets to sort, and there were three of you. And over here we've got a much bigger bowl of sweeties, and only one person. And she's still working her way. Bless. You just keep going. You just keep going. Well, you see, in some countries in the world, boys and girls aren't really treated the same. And we were thinking earlier on in the service here about a country called Sierra Leone, which is quite a poor country where an organisation called Christian Aid work with partners to help people. And we were learning about mummies who may be having a hard time with their babies getting help through a project. And one of the other projects that they are supporting this year is a project that helps girls who don't necessarily get the same treatment as boys. Because in Sierra Leone, in some parts of Sierra Leone, girls are not really encouraged to have an education. And there's one little girl I was reading about who wants to be a doctor. And she's a bright little girl, and she gets up at 5 o'clock every morning, 5 o'clock every morning to do 2 hours of chores before she then sets off for school. Because if she didn't get up at 5 o'clock to do the chores, she wouldn't be allowed to go to school. She's got to do the work first. But she's so determined to make something of her life, to become a doctor, because she loves science at school. Are you finished? Well done. Well done. She's so determined, a bit determined, that she works really hard to do that. So what Christian Aid want to do is to make it easier for girls like her to achieve the things that they want to do in life by providing schools closer to home and enabling girls to have an education and making it slightly fairer. Okay, now, I think what you could do is if you could tip your sweeties all back into the bowls. Yeah, mix them all up again. And then maybe what you could do is maybe make the bowls the same size, same number of sweeties, maybe share them. And then you could take them back to your seat and you could maybe have a few. You could maybe have a few while we're going through the rest of the service. Hmm? Oh, right, so I'm being told that...
No, just put them right. Straight into the bowl.
Okay, that's fine. What to do is, see if you put them all in the same bowl, right? Put them all in the same bowl, yeah. Right, and then you can take the bowl back to your seat, and then what you can do is, after the service, Carol can supervise. You can maybe share them out with everybody that's here. Would that be a nice thing to do? Right, meanwhile, I will put these cups away in here. And we'll take your seat, and I think we're going to sing another song. All right. So Carol's supervising the sweets. Carol's supervising the sweets. There we go. Problem solved. Right. We're going to sing again. Oh. And our song is this time 204. I am the church. You are the church. we gather around this font to baptise Willow Mary Russell and to welcome her into the church. Karen and Brian have brought their little one here to be welcomed into the family of God. And for me, it's always exciting as we welcome little ones into God's family. In this sacrament, we create a link with tradition. In a moment, we will pray together, and then I'll have some questions for Brian and Karen, and I'll have a question for all of us to answer. The answer to all questions is, we do. From the start of Christian community centuries ago, people have been received into the church through baptism. Baptism is a sign that God loves each of us individually. It shows and tells us that God's love encompasses and embraces us all, and that God's grace works in and through our lives. The water we use in baptism is a seal of God's grace and reminds us of Jesus Christ, who himself was baptized, was buried and raised so that we might know life in all its fullness. The water is sprinkled, poured out like God's Spirit on us and for us, and we are reminded and assured that we are all God's children, that our future lies with God, and that the church, the family of God, is where we will be helped and equipped to serve God in the world. Willow is our special responsibility as her parents, her family and friends, and we gather here representing the church in its biggest sense of being. Whether we believe in God or not, God believes in us. So I hope that everyone here will feel welcome to be part of the promises taken. But first, let's hear God's word and the story of Jesus' own baptism as found in Mark's Gospel. And I'm reading this from Eugene Peterson's The Message. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came up out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, came down on him. Along with the Spirit, a voice, "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." Amen. I invite Karen and Brian to come forward with little Willow, who's making our presence heard.
Hello.
Karen and Brian, in bringing Willow for baptism, do you confess your faith in God, the loving Creator, in Jesus Christ, in and through whom we are promised life, and in the Holy Spirit, our helper and guide?
We do.
And do you promise, with God's help, to continue to provide a loving home for Willow and to bring her up in the faith of the gospel as far as you are able in the fellowship of the church? Can I invite those of you in the congregation who feel able to please stand and in offering your support to Karen and Brian and their beautiful little Willow. And if you could repeat these words after me. We have grown in our faith. In Christ Jesus throughout our lives. And in these moments, we proclaim it anew as we welcome Willow. Please be seated. And can I maybe get some help? Do you two want to come and give me a wee hand? I need some help pouring the water into Fort. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a little prayer, and if you could each just help pour the water in a little bit at a time, I'll give you a little nod when to do it. So if I hand that to you just now, okay, and then maybe just pour a little bit in and then pass it on. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you moved over the waters in the dawn of creation. Bless this water as we baptize Willow today. Jesus Christ, our Master and our friend, calling us to follow you, bless this water as we baptize Willow into your church. God, our Maker, thank you for the gift of life, the chance to grow in love. Bless this water as we baptize Willow into your family. You can do that together, just pour it all in. There we go. Thank you so much. Right, manage all of it. There we go. That's lovely, thank you. So maybe you want to pop it just down on the floor. That'd be lovely. Thank you very much. And you can take your seat. All right. Willow, before the world knew anything about you, before Mummy and Daddy held you in their arms or first made you smile, God loved you. Before you made your first sounds, God looked forward to what you had to say. For all your life, God's love and Christ's need will be mirrored in the eyes of the people you meet and the lives that you touch. Today we reach out and hand you what has been yours from the beginning. Willow, God's love is yours. Baptism is our way of celebrating what already is. Willow Mary Russell, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God's love and peace be with you now and dwell in your heart forever. Amen. She says, I've had enough of that. Can I take you from Daddy for a wee minute now? Because what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a little song to you as I take you for a wee wander around the church. So we'll sing together, the Lord bless you and keep you. Mm-hmm. Come with me. We'll go and say hello to a few people. Something that they'll give to you, to Mummy from all of us here. Just a little present to remember this day by. There we go. Right, please, you can have a wee seat. She's happy now. It was the choir. The choir. Let's join our hearts in prayer once again. Let us pray. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Willow all her days. May your love hold her, your truth guide her, your joy delight her. Bless our parents, Karen and Brian, that she may grow in a secure and happy home. Give to the family wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns, and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Willow, this is your home now. Come whenever you can. A welcome is here for you forever. We close our service this morning by singing that great hymn, 154 in your hymn books, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
way of being and becoming. It's not about geography, it's about loving relationships with Jesus and his disciples, with those around us. So may we build relationships with some of the poorest in the world this Christian Aid Week and beyond, and help prepare a place for them, a place of love and hope for those who need it most. And we go now with the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by our sides today and always.